Am I okay?
Yeah.
Good. And maybe it's... Okay? Shalom. This is sort of the South, right? Shalom, y'all. I know what Florida is all about. And it's good to come to Florida. Flew down from Illinois. Masks in restaurants and places. I come here, nobody has a mask on. Praise God for that. And we bring you greetings from the church in Jerusalem. That sounds like something from the Bible, right? And we thank you for your prayers and gifts for us over, I think we've been supported many years, like over 40 years. So we've been overseas now 40 years. I can't believe it. Married to the same beautiful girl. She doesn't change. Billy doesn't change. And so thank you so much. We have our friends Bob and Barb Maestros. We work with them in Austria for many years. So they live on the other side of the state. So we're thankful that they are with us. And, of course, we're going to show some pictures. But before, you know, these missionary preliminaries, we have in the back our brochure. You can take it and pray for us. And pray, you know, when you eat pasta, okay, or macaroni. You know, actually, it's quite easy. Nutrimoni, macaroni, same pronunciation. And I'm a pastor like pasta, so you can't forget that. And then, of course, I have some of our books. We did finish, I say we because it's a team effort. I write, my wife edits, and we have a publisher in the church. And the last book is Equipped for the End Times, 10 Vital Principles for High Impact Leadership. So, and the other one from last time, The Soon Return of Jesus, some other ones. Plus, we have a cookbook. That's the cookbook from our ladies at Jerusalem Baptist Church. So, all the proceeds, listen, it's nonprofit donation in the back there for the books. And enjoy, it's going for the training of pastors, okay? That's where the money's going for. So, thank you so much again. We're going to begin a little bit of reminiscence of this year, COVID year. Actually, this book, I call it my COVID book because I had a lot more time than other books to write. You know, once you're shut up in your office, and of course, people say, how do you have time to do books? Well, everything I write, I've preached. So you preach and you write it. You keep everything you say in print. And it's a wonderful way of preserving things that you've learned. You could pass it on to the next generation. And, of course, this book, I've been preaching for the whole year, principles from this book. And I began again after people came back from COVID isolation. And we did meet. I'm saying we did meet. We were the only church in Jerusalem that met. Okay? By hook or by crook, we did it in many creative ways, even one time going on the Mount of Olives, one time in front of a widow's home, but other times in the church, sometimes inside, sometimes outside. But the Bible says, don't forsake the assembly, okay? And the early church met the people, you know. So at the beginning, we were, you know, face masks, you know, distance, you know, hit elbows, that kind of a thing. But now we embrace. Aren't you glad to get back to embracing? Amen. So we're going to show some pictures, and this is mostly going to be people, but what God did during the year. So, of course, this is us in front of Jerusalem. Go ahead. These are our three daughters. You remember where they used to come here and sing a little bit? They were. So this is Libby, Emily, and Allison. Libby, go ahead. This Libby is now mother of four. Living in Wheaton, Illinois. So, Libby and Brandon and the four kids. Go ahead. Seth and Emily, with little Levi and Theo. Actually, we're very fortunate because they live in Jerusalem. Seth is a teacher at the Anglican school. And, so we have, we can babysit, you know, and spoil our grandkids. Now, this is little Theo. Next slide. You can see a picture of him, but he was born this year. Little Levi was born in Lebanon. Okay, next slide. And this is Allison, who is our world traveler, now in Ghana, West Africa. She was in South America. She used to teach in Ghana. Pray for Allison. Go ahead. This is one of her, where is this, Billy?
Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu in Peru. One of her last trips. I don't know how she does it, you know, but she's got that, what do you call it in German?
Wanderlust.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. This is our church, Jerusalem Baptist Church. So it's a nice, it's called the Baptist House, by the way. It's in a Jewish neighborhood. Better not to call it a church, just a house. Go ahead. And this is actually time of COVID. We were able to meet, praise the Lord, inside. Go ahead. And these are our ladies who compiled this book, these recipes. Wonderful group of ladies who love Jesus from all nations. We have around 5 African families there from the United Nations. Go ahead. And this is our 102-year-old Irene Levy, who's been in the land 70 years. And finally, we got her out of isolation. She comes to church where we wheel her in, and she's now singing a solo. And that. So, you know what the Bible says? Psalm, she's in my book. I dedicate part of it to her. Psalm 92 says, the righteous will bear fruit even in their old age. How many want to bear fruit in their old age? Okay. I want to be with Jesus. Yes, but we have a work to do. Let's bear fruit in our old age. Go ahead. And this is Yoni. You've heard about Yoni. Yoni came to faith a few years ago. Does that sound pretty Jewish, Cohen? Yeah. So, and he came to our church, you know, heard a tape by John MacArthur, wanted to know about Christianity, came to our church, we had a Bible study, he accepted the Lord. We baptized him on an Easter day a few years ago. So do pray for Yoni. This is, go ahead. This is Haya. Now, this is interesting. During the, it's a good thing we met, because Haya came out of the blue, came into our church, you know, on a Sunday last year, and covered up, you know, shield, gloves, everything. And at the end of the service, I said, what brings you here? I said, well, I want to become a believer in Jesus. She's Jewish. So she accepted the Lord and is wonderful. She comes out. She lives an hour from Jerusalem, but comes, and it's an amazing story. But you pray for Haya. Go ahead. And these are Jakob and Yael. Actually, they're German and Swiss. And also because of COVID, they had no place to meet, so they came to our church. So pray for them. Go ahead. And what do you do at the Jordan River? You baptize. So we had baptisms. These are some of the UN people. Go ahead. Next. Now, this guy here, you prayed for Haiti, right? And this lady who worked with the UN said, my husband's coming from Haiti. Can you baptize him? Sure. So I asked him, how are you? And I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry about the assassination. His name is Clarence, of the president. Remember? It was assassin. He said, yeah, I know him. I ran against him as president. So here was a man who could be the next president. And so we baptized him and his family. And praise the Lord, there were a group of Ethiopians said, this man could be the next president of Haiti and a force for Jesus. And they all sang, and so we baptized him. So you never know. You know, God could use you. Go ahead. And these are Arab Christian ladies that we took a little trip with, and a group of ladies that sister, she's up there. Well, Eve, she's a Dallas Seminary grad, by the way. She has a Bible study, but she sometimes asks me to help guide the group around Israel. Go ahead. Now, this is a place we went to. You see? It's a coffee shop. You see where my feet are? They're in a spring of water. So at this restaurant, you can have your feet in water and eat. So it's a very unique place. So if you want to come to our next trip, we'll take you there. And we'll eat in the spring water. Okay, go ahead. And this is a guy named Israel. He looks like Israel, right? I saw him on the street, looked like John the Baptist. I said, have a seat, we have coffee. And he's a believer in Jesus. He got saved in the States. But do pray for him. He lost his wife and his daughter was killed in a terrorist attack in Tel Aviv years ago. Do pray for Israel. Go ahead. And of course, every Christmas we go to Bethlehem and proclaim the gospel, except for the last 2 years. Hopefully, maybe this Christmas we'll go back. Who knows? Go ahead. And this is the Kanabati family. Tom, this is the group that we stayed with in the hotel. Do pray for them. It's really, I feel bad for Bethlehem. I feel bad for the old city. There's no business. You know, it's like a ghost town. You know, New Jerusalem, okay, but with no tourism, it died. So do pray that things would come back. End of COVID, more freedom, more tourism, you know, more excavations. You know, a lot of digs have been postponed, so do pray for that. Go ahead. And this is Barry and Sybil. We mentioned them, our friends. Barry passed on last year, and then Sybil. So do pray for them, our Jewish friends. They come to know that I hope he accepted Jesus. I don't know. But do pray for Sybil. Go ahead. And this is Baidun. He's a antique collector and seller. So I met him. He's a Muslim and he knows everybody. You know, Chuck Swindoll. He even met Joe Biden, you know. He came to his shop, but he sells antiquities. But pray for him. Every time I'm with him, we talk about Jesus. And he's a Muslim. So do pray for Baidun. And this is, go ahead, Syrian refugees who are, we met in Jordan, no, not Jordan, in Lebanon, right, Billy, where Levi was born. And these ladies, amazing, my friend who's a pastor there, I said, I want to have a ministry among refugees. Fine, yeah, $100, sure. So we treated them to Kentucky Fried Chicken. But before Kentucky Fried Chicken, we had a gospel meeting. Here I'm sharing the gospel. All 12 of the Muslim ladies accepted Jesus. You know? So next slide. And now we're enjoying KFC. So, but pray for them. Go ahead. And this is the Hezbollah. When I was in Lebanon, I was speaking at a UN group. And the UN leader, his neighbor was a Hezbollah leader. That's where your money goes, by the way. Goes to Iran and it goes to these guys. He was a poor guy, and that's his house now. Go ahead. And this is my last slide. This is the grace of God in the Middle East. Men saved by the grace of God. This is in Jericho. Italian boy from New Jersey, saved by the grace of God. Next to me, Milton Alvarez. He's an ex-mafia cartel dealer. He didn't know Jesus, saved by the, now preaches Jesus. Next to him in red, Tassadar, he was Yasser Arafat's hitman. He's a terrorist. Killed Israelis, killed a lot of people, but then came to faith in Jesus, and now he's in ministry. And Brother Terry Hill, who was with the Lord now, but preacher's kid, also saved by the grace of God. So, common denominator, the grace of God, that's what the Middle East needs. God's pouring out of his love to save people, both Jew and Arab. Okay, thank you. Now, in Jerusalem, there's a famous gate called the Jaffa Gate. It's very wide. The other gates are small. Why is it wide? Because in the 19th century, Franz Joseph, of the Emperor of Austria, came. He wanted to proclaim himself the King of Jerusalem, just like Napoleon. I want to be King of Jerusalem. So, of course, he had a big entourage, and the gate was small. So they had to expand the gate so his entourage could come in, and then he could proclaim himself, the king has arrived. Now, fast forward a few years, there was a man, great general named Allenby, who took over for the British mandate after World War II. And, of course, he wanted to announce to people he was going to be now the, you know, commander-in-chief, okay, appointed by the queen or the king to take over Israel under the mandate. Now, he was a Christian man, but he decided, you know, to announce his coming, and they sent out flyers by planes all over the city in Arabic and Turkish. This is in 1920. Now, the Muslims misunderstood the word Allenby. They thought it meant Allah. And so they thought Allah was coming. So everyone got out of the city. And that's why it was said that when Allenby came into Jerusalem, not a shot was heard. Now, he was a Christian man. He said, I am not going to enter Jerusalem on a donkey like my Lord. I'm not worthy of that. So he walked in. Now, it's interesting where we live in Jerusalem. You know, I go on the balcony, and I pray against COVID, by the way. But right down below is where they might put the American embassy, change the location. And it actually was the headquarters of Allenby at one time. And I decided, well, while I'm out here, I might as well sing. You know, remember in Italy during COVID, the opera singers were getting in the balcony and sing, Oh, solo mio, you know, to entertain. So I'll sing, you know, and he shall reign forever, and, you know, the Messiah. So I sang, nobody heard me, but, you know, maybe they did. But, you know, might as well take advantage of that opportunity. But there was a man in the Bible who was called of God to be the messenger, to proclaim, of course, the message of salvation, to prepare the way of the Lord. And of course, that man, as we know today, is John the Baptist, and that's why we've chosen this passage in Matthew chapter 3. And I love John the Baptist. And by the way, John the Baptist was not a Baptist. He was a baptizer. He was actually a Pentecostal. Because remember when Mary visited Elizabeth, Mary, you know, with Jesus in the womb, visited Elizabeth with John in the womb. What was John doing? He was jumping up and down and praising the Lord in the womb. But I think Baptists too, and Free Church people, you like to praise the Lord, right? Clap your hands, all you people. So, whatever. But he's really should be called the baptizer. And in this passage in Matthew chapter 3, I think you had it before. We read some of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we'll go through it, you know, verse by verse and step by step. First of all, we're introduced to John the Baptist, and we see, first of all, the man. Okay? He was a man like you and me, right? It says, John the Baptist, in those days, came preaching in the desert. So, here he is in the desert. Now, did he come from the desert? No. He came from a very exclusive, very beautiful area of Jerusalem called Ein Kerem. You go there, it looks like Switzerland. I mean, he gave up riches. He gave up a nice area to live in and was called of God to go into the desert, the stark desert, to preach. Now, it's very significant why he went to the desert. Of course, he had the call of God. And why would you go into the wilderness to preach? You know, are there people there? Well, yes, there are people. In fact, people came to him. And it's interesting because when you think about it, and we're going to look at this in a moment, that there was a significance about the wilderness. For one thing, it's out of Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, you know, the problem was in Jerusalem, too many religious people. And sometimes when there's too much religion, there's opposition to the gospel. And so God, in his plan, I believe, called John the Baptist out of Ein Kerem into the wilderness to preach. And the people would come to him. Okay, they were away from the religious influence of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And we're freer to hear, freer to believe. And so that's why I believe he was preaching in the desert of Judea. Now, what was he preaching? Here was the man, called of God, who had a message. The message was very simple. And first of all, the first message, the first point of the message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You know, repent from what? Repent from sin. Isn't that the message of the gospel, part of it? You know, exposing sin. Do you think we need this message today in America? You know, what's the problem? What's the political problem? What's COVID? What's all this stuff? Election fraud? What's this? It's part of the problem of the sin nature of man. And there's only one solution, is to repent. And of course, that wasn't the only point. Because in the ministry of John the Baptist, he also looked at Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The gospel. Jesus who came to take away our sin. So it's a wonderful message we preach that, you know, very significant message, very important message. And so that wasn't just the message. And that message that we see here is, yes, at this point directed to non-Christians, but it's also directed to certain non-Christians who you might think should be Christians or should be declared religious people, even though they did not know the Lord. And this is another part of his message, not only proclaim repentance, not only exalt the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, but he also had a message to those religious people who were on the outside, religious, nice, you know, holy in appearance, but had no reality of Jesus in their life. If you go on in the passage, as he baptizes these people and preaches, and we're going to look at more at that message, but in verse 7, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, now here's the religious people, coming out of Jerusalem, seeing what's happening, because a lot of people were getting baptized. And so they came to see the baptism. Now, did John say, hey, welcome everybody, welcome to the wonderful baptism service. You know, enjoy yourself, we're going to have a picnic, we'll see these baptisms taking place, and it's a wonderful experience, obviously. He didn't say that. What did he say? He said this. When he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptized, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Show it. Show your true colors. Show the fruit. If you have truly repented, demonstrate it to us. You know, and John the Baptist was a man who told the truth. Don't we need that today? Tell me. One thing I've gotten this year, you know, with COVID, politics, you know, even in the religious world, there is a lack of truth, right? I mean, who do you believe? Dr. Fauci? This is not a political statement. I'm just my pastor friend in California said, oh, Dr. Fauci. No, okay. But who do you believe? I'm glad that the Lord has revealed truth to us in Jesus, right? Aren't you glad you know the truth if you know Jesus? Aren't you glad that we have a book of truth, the Bible? Yes. Not science, not scientific books, you know. True science, pure science. No, this is the only source of truth is right here in the Bible. And of course, he was very clear to pronounce, you know, condemnation. Who are you? What are you trying to do to escape from the wrath of God? Now, when we preach the wrath of God, you know, we're talking about the consequences of sin. And of course, it's a subject nobody likes to think about, you know, hell, the wrath of God, the coming judgment. Thank God that, you know, whoever thinks about justice system today, remember these are fallible men. Only God knows, right? He will judge righteously in the end. Aren't you glad for that? When Jesus returns, there will be righteous judgment. Okay? Now, it's interesting, Bob and Barbara know Bernie Franklin. Bernie was a Jewish believer in Vienna. I think he got saved in Israel, if I'm not mistaken, either way. So he lived in Vienna. His father was a Holocaust survivor from Vienna, his mother from Brooklyn. But they moved back to Vienna, and he came to our church, Bernie. Now, his father was in the hospital one time, so I went and visited his father with Bernie. And Mr. Franklin, you know, this Austrian Jew, Holocaust survivor, he was talking about his experience in a hospital. And he said, you know, in this hospital, you know, there are two types of doctors. Number one, There are the Viennese doctors, and they're very diplomatic, they're very nice, you know, oh, you're okay, just, you know, take a rest, you know. Then there are the doctors from Germany or from Western Austria, which are very direct. You're going to die in 3 months, so prepare yourself. And so, Mr. Franklin, I said to Mr. Franklin, and he said he preferred those German doctors who are direct. I said, thank you for telling me that, Mr. Franklin, because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't accept Jesus as your Messiah, you're going to hell. You know what he said? Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So don't be afraid when the opportunity comes, you preach the truth. And this is the truth. The consequences of sin is death, is the wrath of God. So that's, we've seen the man, we've seen his message, and then we see his mission. You know, there was a mission he had, a specific mission. And in a sense, we are like John the Baptist. We have a mission, right? We are preparing the way for the coming of Jesus. When we proclaim the gospel, when we live the life, is Jesus coming back? Okay? Then he was coming on earth, and he was, John was announcing, this is the King of Kings, believe on him. But we are announcing the coming of Jesus, who will come on this earth, reign in Jerusalem. And, of course, look at his message. This is the one who has spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. This was his mission. A voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. That's pretty significant. I remember Josh McDowell speaking about John the Baptist. You know, he was talking about the authority of the believer. And one thing, as we exercise the authority of the believer, we must have a humble heart, right? We must be people of humility. Now, what is humility? It's not like, oh, I'm nothing. Oh, poor me, you know. I'm a nobody. Is that humility? He said, no. Oh, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going outside and eat what?
Worms.
Okay, that's it. If you're old, you know that. But, you know, Josh McDowell said this. No, that humility is knowing who you are, but who made you. John the Baptist said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. You know what you are? You're a voice of the one crying in the wilderness. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are a child of God. You are a child of the King. That is something. So you know who you are, but you also realize who made you that way. Only by the grace of God. Right? You know, knowing who you are, but who made you. That's true humility. So John the Baptist was a humble person. But he declared, I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Now, there's also the motivation. Why do we do what we do? And we see here, you know, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The motivation is the kingdom, right? The kingdom is coming. Is Jesus coming? Yeah, the king. That's our motivation. The king is coming. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything is for the kingdom. You don't just work for the church. You work for the kingdom of God wherever the kingdom of God is. People who know Jesus, part of the spiritual kingdom of God, but also the coming of Jesus when he comes and reigns. Okay, that's our motivation. I tell you what, I keep my Bible. I couldn't bring it because of space, but I have on my Bible. It says, Jesus is coming soon. I wrote the book, The Return of Jesus, soon. You know, I'm warning people. People are... We don't know when he's going to come. Anyone have an idea? No, but the Bible says, like, the coming of the Lord is near. I remember a Korean, I won't say what kind of person it was, standing in a soapbox in New York, 1998. Jesus is coming back this September. Did Jesus come back September of 1998? No. You don't know when he's going to come. But we proclaim he's coming. The coming of the Lord. Even though people will think we're fanatics, we're weird, we need to proclaim that. We proclaim it, the coming of the King, because also there's the judgment. Get ready. I appreciate preachers like Noah. How many years did Noah preach building the ark? 120 years. Is God patient? Okay? The message we have is a life-changing message. Here we have, I love Jonah. Who likes the story of Jonah? Okay? And he was a Jew. And it was like, Jonah, now you go and preach to the Ninevites who are your enemies. Just like you go to an Israeli today believer, say, go and preach to Iran, your enemies, and tell them about God's love, God's judgment. No, I don't want to go that. I want them to go to hell. And Jonah was like that. But Jonah, you know, he had his lesson, right? He learned, he had to obey the whale. I had my lesson when I was in seminary. I was in an accident, could have been killed. You know, I was like in a weird situation, but in a truck accident, and I was almost died, had broken bones all over. But I got to a point, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Just get me out of the situation. And the Lord did, and God called me to the mission field. And so Jonah went in obedience. He preached to the Ninevites. Now, how did they receive him? They repented. The king repented in sackcloth and ashes. And there was revival in Nineveh. In fact, today, most of the believers in Iraq come from Nineveh. And there's a church in Illinois, you know what? It's mostly comprised of Ninevites. A recurring revival. We call it awakening, right, Bob? We're talking about revival and awakening. And that comes when you preach the kingdom. That comes when you pray. That comes when you repent of sin. But then there was also not only the man, the message, the mission, and the motivation. There's also the manner, because he was not a well-dressed, Jesus was not anything to look at, right? He didn't wear a nice tuxedo, suit, you know. I do have to admit, in my church in Vienna, no, excuse me, in Jerusalem, I do wear a tie. Now, why do I wear a tie? I would rather not wear a tie, but sometimes we get these Afro-American preachers come in on a tour, and they come in, and they are well-dressed. And if I didn't have a tie on, I would offend them. So just not to offend people, I wear at least a tie. In fact, I had the predecessor to Martin Luther King Jr., who's now a senator from Georgia, in the church. And I didn't know, you know, he was the Ebenezer Baptist, but he gave the final prayer, but whatever. But they're all like that. Now, John the Baptist, he was a simple guy. His manner, John's clothes, verse 4, were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. Be simple. Right? Praise God. You know, I didn't come from wealth. I came from Jewish Short Hills. All my friends, rich, you know, summer homes, you know, camp, Florida, skiing, everything. I had nothing. I mean, we were middle class. I told you. My father drove a what? Rambler. Okay. That means middle class or below. So we were very simple. My father, you know, we're going to buy clothes. Where do we buy clothes? Sears Roebuck. And my wife, fortunately, I married a very simple girl from a simple family. They were missionaries. They lived on how much a month, Billy?
$400.
$400 a month. And he was a dentist in Ecuador. You know, I mean, you had to live very, right? He had, in fact, vegetables, you know. They had all that stuff. And we go, we clothe ourselves. We come here. We go to New Jersey. The Christian Missionary Alliance, missionary in many lands, they have a missionary barrel, a whole room of clothing. Get free clothing. That's my favorite price, free. Then if not, you go to Goodwill. Then Walmart's the last alternative. So it's okay. And we don't have to eat all this luxury. I'm not even a steak guy. I love hamburgers. You know, we don't have to eat. And at our age, you know, you really have to watch, you know, intermittent fasting. You really have to watch your weight because, you know, the metabolism is not so strong. So, you know, it's easy to identify with this. But he lived very simply. And then finally here, you know, the manner. But he also, you know, had a wonderful ministry, not just in proclaiming, but also because he baptized Jesus. You know, that was a great privilege. Now, why was Jesus baptized? Didn't he need to confess and say, no, he was the sinless Son of God, the sinless Lamb of God? No. But Jesus was baptized to fulfill the law so that he could be identified with the nation of Israel. The Messiah had to be identified with the nation of Israel, and by baptizing, he was identified with his people. And John thought it was a great privilege. He didn't want to do that. No, I need to be baptized. But no, you do it. And John said, you know, I baptize him. I baptize him more, but he's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. But I think it's very significant because here we have baptism, not just, oh, I identify with Christ. It's important to identify with Christ. It doesn't save us. We identify with Christ, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, and his coming again. But also, baptism has to do with identifying with the body of Christ, with the people. Okay? Now, do you think it's important to be with God's people? I was saying, my deacon and I were so adamant. I don't care if anybody else is not meeting, we're going to meet. Because the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. It was good when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad to be together?
Tell me.
We've got to have each other. And so baptism is a wonderful thing. And even as Jesus, you know, said, gave the Great Commission, what that is to me is not just preaching the gospel, it's also a church planting mandate. Go and preach the gospel, baptizing the people, identify the people in the body of Christ, because that's where the real teaching and discipleship should take place, in the context of a local church. That's it. And you teach them to observe. So I think it's very important. And I love what Luis Palau, we had time with him before he died. I went out because he preached a message at my seminary about missions and seek first the kingdom. And I, upon that message, I set out to go to the mission field, and we wanted to say thank you. And I read his book, and when his father died, his mother said to the kids, and this is mom, good mom advice, you kids go out, preach the gospel, and plant churches. Now, what mother would say that to her kids? Because she knew it's not just preaching, but plant the churches that the people can gather together. And so that's basically what I want to say about John the Baptist. There's a lot I can say, a lot more I could say, but it's a wonderful reminder to all of us, right? And one thing I love about John the Baptist in conclusion, because what did Jesus say about John the Baptist? There's none greater than him, right? None greater. Why? Well, I believe none greater because he was not afraid to preach the truth. And number two, he was humble, right? Humility. Did we sing that song? I'm there. I'm going to tell them, I'm going to call Jerusalem. Sing that song next week in the church in Jerusalem. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humility. You know, he was humble. Not I, but Christ. May Christ be exalted. May I diminish. And I hope that's our prayer too. Don't be afraid. Preach the gospel. But let's humble ourselves before God. May he increase. And may we decrease. Father, thank you so much for this day and this church, Brother Jason, and thank you for the church to help it to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and thank you for the fellowship. Keep on blessing the church and use it, and use all the members and the pastor for your glory and honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.